Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. The hadith of Anas ibn Malik also teaches us that it is permissible to offer voluntary prayer in congregation, but not to have this as the norm. Meaning, if some of my students, for example, come to me in the middle of the night saying that we would like to pray with you night prayer, is it permissible? Yes, if I'm going to do this once or twice a month so that we would prolong our prayers or they would learn from me how to pray or to have a dars or a lesson together, this is okay. The Prophet prayed with Anas ibn Malik voluntary prayers. He prayed night prayer with Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, with Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, with Abdullah ibn Abbas, with all of his wives. So he used to pray night prayer in congregation, but it was not the norm. Not every single night we make it like Taraweeh. This becomes a bid'ah. This becomes an innovation. Therefore, if you go to someone's house and you want to pray congregation prayer, voluntary prayer, this is permissible, but don't make it as a habit, first of all. Second of all, be careful that they are not requesting you to pray for them because they think that you are barakah. If this is the case, this is forbidden. Why? Because you do not seek the barakah except from the owner of the barakah. And that is Allah Azza wa Jal. We know that barakah exists. Barakah can be in time. Barakah can be in location. Barakah can be in substances. Barakah can be in Quran. Barakah in time. We know that Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, is more blessed than any other night. Isn't that so? We know that the 10 days of the Hijjah are the best days of the whole year. We know that Jumu'ah, Friday, is more blessed than the other days of the week. So we know that there are certain blessed times. The four sacred months of the year. The 3 months of Al-Hajj. All of these are sacred times that Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed. We know that there are locations that are blessed more than others, such as Mecca, Medina, Arafah, Bayt al-Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa. We know that one prayer in it is equivalent to 500. So it is blessed. In Medina, 1,000. In Mecca, 100,000 elsewhere. So these locations are blessed. We know that there are surahs of the Quran blessed more than the others. Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran. They are blessed. They are Al-Zahrawan, Al-Ghayayatan, as described by the Prophet ﷺ. We know that even in eating, there are certain position. If you do it, you get the blessing of Allah. For example, the companions used to complain to the Prophet ﷺ that they're unable to have sufficient food. It always runs out. The Prophet says, eat from the same plate and do not eat alone. You know, open buffets are like this. When you put your food and go and eat alone like a monkey. No, the Prophet says, eat from the same plate. All of you eat from the same plate and do not eat from the middle of it because the barakah falls on the middle. So the Prophet says the barakah falls on the middle. So you have to eat from the sides until the middle goes and then you eat it and you consume it. And not only that, if you finish your plate, the Prophet says, clean it and lick it because you do not know where the barakah is. Not only that, even your fingers, the one you ate with, also you have to lick it because you don't know where the barakah. And all of these things Muslims do not because of culture, because of their seeking the barakah. Now, if someone says, okay, Sheikh, I'd like to drink water after you from the same glass because I'd like to get some barakah of your knowledge or barakah of your religion, I tell you, you will be possessed by the worst types of jinn because I have no barakah and no living being after the Prophet has barakah, not even the companions. The barakah is only in the Prophet in what he used, in what he wore, in what he ate, in anything that came in contact with him. Other than that, do not seek the barakah except from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you have questions, we will take your questions inshallah just before the end of the session. Let us finish this hadith inshallah. So in the hadith also, we find that answering the invitation can be mandatory and can be recommended. Scholars say that it is part of the rights of a Muslim over a Muslim, that when he invites him, he accepts and answers the invitation. But when? Scholars say when the invitation is mandatory, such as when he's inviting you for the meal of the wedding, or he's inviting you for aqiqah, if he was blessed with a child. These are considered to be wajib invitations. You have to go. Other than that, it's recommended and voluntary. If he's making a gathering for his friends and he's cooking a meal and he invites you, this is not mandatory. It is recommended that you answer because he would feel good about it. However, in the mandatory and in the voluntary, if there is something haram, you must not attend. Examples: if I'm invited to a wedding, but the wedding is mixed, women and men, I cannot go. This is un-Islamic. One says, Sheikh, all of our weddings are like this. I say, well, revise your Islam, because you are not on the correct Islam. It is forbidden for men and women to mix in weddings, in gatherings, in family gatherings. My paternal aunt is coming, and her husband and her children and her daughters, and they're visiting us. And my mother says, I have to eat with them and talk with them and maybe take the girls out to see the city. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And she says that this is part of Islam because Islam tells us to be hospitable to our guests. Yes, but it doesn't tell you to take them to the disco or go to a nightclub. It tells you to follow the Sharia. And mixing with the opposite sex who is not a mahram for you, this is completely forbidden. You're invited to a wedding that is segregated, alhamdulillah, men only. But once you went in, you found a live band playing music. This is haram. It is not permissible for you to attend such a wedding. Go and tell them, this is haram, I'm leaving, assalamu alaikum. Or even better more, you call the bride and tell him that this is not permissible in our religion. So answering the invitations is a good thing for us to do because this gets us closer and to each other, and we're following the sunnah, providing we do not do any forbidden things. We open the floor for questions. Raise your voice, please.
It has become customary in Bombay that when two people meet, they ask for a blessing, pray for me. While going for Hajj also, they say that pray for me. Can you?
Okay, if I understand your question correctly, if you're asking about when I meet people in Bombay or anywhere, and we depart, they say, pray for me, or don't forget us from your dua. And likewise, if someone is going for Hajj, we tell him, please don't forget us from your dua. Is this your question? This is not asking for a blessing. Blessing is different. Blessing is when I come in, or the Imam of Haram, for example, as I've seen that in UK, in England, the sophisticated people, I've seen them attacking Sheikh Abdurrahman Sidis and tearing his garments. Why? And they're happy. They say, we got this barakah from Sheikh. What is this? They're gonna wash it. They're gonna put it in their living room. I don't know. But they think that any traces of his is a barakah. This is haram. This is shirk, other than the Prophet ﷺ. But when you go to someone and ask him to make dua, it's an issue of dispute, whether it's permissible or not, but no one says it's shirk. Some say that it is not recommended because you're not depending on Allah. What's the difference between you and me when it comes to dua? Oh, Sheikh, your dua is more acceptable. How do you know? You don't know. Maybe it's less. Allah mentioned in Surah An-Naml, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ. Who is it that answers the one in distress? More, Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who is in stress is closer to Allah to answer his call than any one of us, right? So if you have a calamity, if you have a problem, and you see someone going for Hajj, If you tell him, make dua for me, I'll tell you, your dua is more acceptable than his, because you're the one in need. And a lot of the Muslims don't know this. So is it halal or haram? I believe that it is halal. It is permissible to ask someone to make dua for you. But always, as stated before, change your intention. In the sense, I'm not asking him to make dua because he's closer to Allah. I'm asking him to make dua because I know that Allah has appointed an angel. Whenever he makes dua for me, the angel says, and to you, similar to it. So I am benefiting him when he's making dua for me. If I have this intention, inshallah, there's no problem at all.
Sheikh, as you said regarding the invitation that it is mandatory, if it is for a walima or for aqiqah, but due to some other priorities, if we cannot go, because as you said, it's mandatory, so if we don't go, we would be sinning. So how do we, you know, adjust that?
If you have an emergency that allows you to skip, yes, if someone is sick, and he says, ya akhi, I have to crawl on my knees and hands to reach the invitation because it's wajib, no. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah Azza wa Jal does not oblige a soul except up to its capability. And not only that, if you ask the host, so for example, if your mother is coming and you are receiving her from the airport at the same time of the dinner, so you definitely ask the host and tell him, I'd like to be excused because this and that, and definitely the host would tell you, Akhi, you're excused, go ahead. Even if you don't feel like going, if you ask permission from the host and tell him that I have, you know, some work to do, I'm tired, I don't feel like coming, next time I'll make it up for you, and he says it's okay, then there is no sin at all. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.